You're listening to Drumming for Justice with Flood the Drummer.
Hello, everybody. I'm Flood the Drummer, and thanks for making time to listen to Drumming for Justice. It's Thursday, June 19th. At the time of this recording, trending on Twitter are black wrestlers' responses to the news that wrestling legend Hulk Hogan has been reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame 3 years after being erased due to an audio recording of him admitting he's a little bit racist and referring to his daughter's black boyfriend as a fucking nigger. It's not just wrestling fans who are talking about this issue. The return of Hulk Hogan has captured the attention of the sports world at large. Joining me today to discuss this is early 80s and 90s wrestling fan and shock jock Ike Raw. Ike Raw, welcome back to the Drumming for Justice podcast.
What up?
So listen, man, it's Throwback Thursday, and I thought it appropriate that we start this podcast episode about Hulk Hogan with our earliest childhood memory about wrestling and Hogan. So I'm putting you on the spot. What's your earliest memory of Hulk Hogan?
Well, the earliest memory of Hulk Hogan is definitely the body slam of Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3 at the Pontiac Silverdome. Truthfully, when he came to the WCW and revealed that he was down with NWO, he main term bad guy. Everybody know about that. I mean, Hulk Hogan is definitely a legend in the game. You can't tell the book of wrestling without mentioning Hulk Hogan.
That's a good quote. You can't tell the book of wrestling without mentioning Hulk Hogan. People have kind of said that in the wake of his return, that despite, you know, his hateful words and his hateful rhetoric, that he's a legend, and you really can't have that conversation about wrestling without talking about him. But before we go too far, my earliest memory, and I'm actually writing about this for a piece that will accompany this podcast, I remember in elementary school putting a puzzle together. We had free time. Remember, you know, shout out to free time. I used to have free time in school. You could, you know, just kind of do stuff. And I was putting together this puzzle. And I remember seeing this puzzle on the bottom shelf. It had the old school block WWF logo on it, and I pulled it out, and it was a Hulk Hogan a puzzle with him, probably from like 89, maybe 1990, with the big blue eagle, old school eagle WWF belt, ripping off the shirt. And I remember him slamming Yokozuna. I'm not old enough to remember in real time the Andre the Giant slam, but he also slammed Yokozuna, which was a big deal. I remember in 94 him going to WCW amid a big fanfare, Mr. Nanny, that really terrible movie he filmed. But I think for me, my biggest, earliest memory of Hogan is when, to your point, is when 1996 Bash of the Beach, Hulk Hogan was revealed as the third man in the NWO, or which was a faction that would soon become known as NWO, joining Scott Hall, who was formerly Razor Ramon in the WWF, and Kevin Nash, who was formerly Diesel. Were you a big NWO fan?
Oh, absolutely. That was, I mean, I've been down with WCW since back in the day, like Magnum TA, Nikita Koloff, Dusty Rhodes.
Old school NWA days.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Back in the NWA days.
So you remember the vicious four horsemen and how they used to beat Dusty Rhodes and leave them bloody?
Yeah, every listen, wrestling used to come on at 1 o'clock. It always used to go off for somebody fighting every week to get you prepared. You always used to hear, what's my man's name? Tony Schiavone in the background. That's crazy. They're all dusty. We'll see you next week. I don't know what's going on. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. wrestling used to get you hyped, dog.
Oh, yeah.
At 2 o'clock, like, damn, man, I got to go outside. You got to go outside.
Man. Who do you think was a better wrestler commentator, Terry Schiavone, Tony Schiavone, or Jim Ross?
Definitely Jim Ross.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely Jim Ross.
Yeah.
I mean, he showed Tony Schiavone. He paid show. He showed Tony Schiavone. I used to listen to Jim Ross back in what was it called? UWF back in the day.
Okay.
Dr. Death Steve Williams. And I used to come on 48, like 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. Jim Ross used to be commentating them Jones back in the day. Kerry Von Erich, the Von Erichs and all of them.
Yeah. I think Jim Ross did his best work in the mid-90s at WWF.
Yeah, exactly.
Calling on Monday Night Raw and on pay-per-views when Undertaker threw Mankind off the top of the cage.
My God! My God! My God!
He's like, I think he's dead. He's broken in half. My God, he's dead. Or when Kane tombstone Pete Rose. Pete Rose just got tombstoned. And Jim Ross was hype and shit. Like, with Austin, I mean, he's stunner.
Stone Cold.
Yo, Jim Ross definitely can sell the match. He definitely is a commentator you need to have, man.
Yeah, but you know, if you go to a wrestling match live, and I've been blessed to go to a few of them when I was younger, you go to a wrestling match live and you watch it without the commentary, you really realize how big of a deal that color commentating is. It's not the same.
To be honest, it's really no fun.
Yeah.
It's really no fun. For someone who never been to a live wrestling match, it's just like you're in there. It's so quiet. It's ridiculous. It's like you're watching people wrestling. But if you imagine that if you're home, you see all the excitement. You hear everything on the TV. It's a total
You get the different. Camera angles. You get the loud sound effects. But when you're watching it there, it just seems like, all right, you know, what's going to happen? You know, everybody cheers, you know, when it hit like a certain move. But during the rest of it, it's pretty quiet. Sometimes it can be more enjoyable watching it at home unless you got really good seats.
Right. If you're not first five rows, forget about it.
That's not to discourage anybody from buying wrestling tickets, of course. Go see the live shows and support the companies, but it's just different. You're not going to get, you know, and I probably shouldn't say this because they'll steal my idea, but they'll probably steal it anyway. I'll probably just come up with it. But you know how they have like Bluetooth headphones and shit? It would be amazing if they could come up with a technology that you go see a wrestling show. You know how you go on an airplane and you could buy headsets? That you could buy headsets at a wrestling show, pay $10 for use or whatever, the Bluetooth, and you can actually put them on and listen to the commentating as you're watching it live.
But it wouldn't be the same because, you know, they got the delay like on TV. So, you know,
that's true.
It would be all fucked up.
The match would be over and he's still calling it.
You already going to see what happened, but then he's calling it like 5 seconds later in your head, 10 seconds later.
All right, well, listen, so Hulk Hogan, you know, talking about wrestling, Hulk Hogan, again, like we said, iconic legend, can't write the book of wrestling or talk about the book of wrestling without Hulk Hogan. 3 years ago, Hulk Hogan was erased from WWE Hall of Fame, which he was inducted into in 2005. The website was scrubbed. The network was scrubbed. There was no mention of Hulk Hogan because a audio tape surfaced. Hulk Hogan was recorded. He didn't know he was being recorded. I believe this was when he was, this was around the time he was having sex with his best friend's wife, Bubba the Love Sponge, his wife, and all of this was recorded. And here's what he said, quote, and he's referring to his daughter, Brooke, and someone that she's dating. He says, quote, I don't know if Brooke was fucking the black guy's son. I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I'm a racist to a point, fucking niggers. But then when it comes to nice people and shit and whatever, I mean, I'd rather if she was going to fuck some nigger, I'd rather she'd marry an 8-foot-tall nigger worth $100 million, like a basketball player. I guess we're all a little racist, fucking nigger. So this was words directly from Hulk Hogan, real name Terry Bollea. When WWE learned of this audio tape, or they kind of had a notion that it was coming, they were tipped off, they got rid of Hulk Hogan from the website, got rid of him from the Hall of Fame, and tried to do as much damage control as possible. 3 years later, WWF says that Hogan's public apologies and his redemption tour of sorts has been substantial enough that they want to welcome him back in and reinstate him. What's your thoughts on that? Before we get into the wrestlers responding and our personal thoughts, just your initial thoughts on WWF saying 3 years has been enough punishment. Let's welcome him back in. And think about that in the context of also Roseanne and what recently happened to her.
Right. Well, first things first, once a racist, always a racist.
Mm.
So let's get that out the way. Secondly, you know, it's all about money. WWE understands, just like we said from the beginning, you can't talk about the book of wrestling without saying the name Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're saying after 3 years, after some redemption tours he went on, after saying he's apologetic, that it's been enough time for him to come back and, you know, show his face around wrestling, and they should accept him back. So the way that I feel about it is that he said what he said. He's a racist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing's going to change my mind about, you know, Hulk Hogan. I mean, at the end of the day, we all grew up loving Hulk Hogan, saying your prayers, eating your vitamins. I had T-shirts that I ripped up. I got my ass whipped for ripping my T-shirt, trying to be like Hulk Hogan. I mean, hey, he's a racist, just like we all know racists. Like, you know what I'm saying? We all know racists. So at the end of the day, he's a racist. He's not the first racist. He's not going to be the last. Mm. He's brought back because at the end of the day, it's a money thing. They have to make money. I mean, he did get a, you know.
But do you think WWE can actually make money with a guy who has become, you know, who went from being the quintessential wrestler to now being a very political and polarizing figure? Do you think that this is going to hurt or harm the WWE brand?
It's not going to harm the WWE brand, Flood. You got to understand, this is wrestling. Mm. This is 2018. This is America. Look at the climate we're in. Some people will say, you know, some people will try to tell you, oh, he said that because Donald Trump wasn't even in office when this came out. But that's just the climate we're in right now. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not going to keep harping on, you know, Hulk Hogan. I was fucked up when I heard about it. Absolutely. I said, damn, am I, you know, somebody I looked up to, whatever, something like that. Not like, I'm saying, I wanted to model my life after him. Not right. Like, I ain't not like that. But, you know, as far as what he did as an entertainer.
He was larger than life.
I love this craft. Absolutely. He was great at what he did. I mean, it's just like a basketball player or somebody like that. You know, same difference. But he's a human being at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So he said he's a racist. He's a racist. So, like, I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to profit off of racists. They have more racists that are, you know, not known to the public that are working for the WWE, just like any corporation. Like, racists are all over. So,
right.
Are we going to say, you know, let's protest the WWE because they have Hulk Hogan working there when, you know, Vince McMahon, when this story first broke, Vince McMahon had a skit, like you remember we talked about, when he did a segment with, I think it was John Cena, and he said, hey, what up, my nigga? You know what I'm saying?
And Booker T, a black wrestler, former five-time WCW world champion, was standing by, and he said, he turned to his wife and said, tell me he didn't just say that.
Right, and that was part of the script.
That's part of the script.
Right. So you have a black man, letting a white man down. And I'm going to break it down and tell you what the distinction is, Flood, what they would say. The difference is because he said nigga instead of nigger.
Right.
You see how Hulk Hogan was using the ER. Now you have some white people will tell you, you know, there's a difference. You know, when you say that ER, you know, you really mean you. That really means that you're trying to hit home. You're trying to cut them. You're trying to make it
That's
hurt.
How I feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, to me, it's no difference. Mm. There's no difference. You call me a nigga, you call me a nigger. There's no difference to me. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but isn't it? But to me, because of context and culture, there's a difference because nigga is kind of like a term of endearment. It's a way of you know, welcoming and acknowledging people. Yo, what's up, my nigga? Oh man, that nigga crazy as shit, or something like that. Whereas nigger had a very distinct place in American society. Where it was like, hey, no niggers can eat at this lunch counter. Hey, no niggers can come to this school. It had a context and a culture of hatred and racism and otherism attached to it, whereas nigga seems to be more germane to a term of endearment and a word that was kind of, you know, taken back and owned by black people and people of color.
Right. And, you know, I set that question up so beautifully and you opened up the door so eloquently. So let me walk right in. That's the problem in society right now. What is the difference between a white racist calling you a nigger or a nigga? You're still going to be upset at that white person, right?
Well, I've talked to people, you know, I remember when what's that guy's name? Kendrick Lamar pulled one of his fans off stage because she said nigga while rapping his lyrics. And, you know, I was talking to one of my young boys on my block, and he was like, he doesn't have a problem if Latinos, Mexicans, or even white people say nigga. Because he went to Catholic school with some of his best friends are white. And they was like, yo, what's up, nigga? And he was okay with that. Whereas he would have been not okay had it been the ER.
Right. That's my point. And what I'm saying is, you know, what's the difference? I mean, we got to stop, you know, trying to, you know, play semantics with the ER and the A. I mean, either we don't like the word or we do like the word. I mean, you can't say, you know, and that's what I'm saying. If it's a white racist, If Hulk Hogan would have been saying nigga, would have been the difference?
Well, I think because of the context in his whole statement, no, it wouldn't have been a difference, because his statement, the context of his statement was to be disparaging, because in between the N-word that he dropped, he's admitting, I'm a little bit racist. I guess I'm racist. I'm racist. What? So he's acknowledged the use of the N-word, whether it was E or A, was rooted in a statement wherein he's acknowledging his racism. So he could have said monkey or fucking candy cane. You know, the implication was he's not a fan of black people.
That's the point that I'm saying to you, Flood. So regardless of what he said, that's what I'm saying. He's already known. He said, I'm a racist, right? So what the fuck does it matter if he's saying nigger or nigga? He's already telling you, I'm a fucking racist, right?
Well, yeah. But again, people aren't debating. I mean, people aren't debating the ER and E and the A as in regards to Hogan. They're just kind of like, how do you apologize for something you are? And that's to say, you haven't really apologized for saying it. You haven't apologized for admitting you're racist. You've kind of just been atoning, I guess. I haven't heard any public apology. I know he spoke to the wrestling locker room at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But I don't know of any, you know, public apology, really, you know, press conference or anything like that. And again, I mean, if you apologize, are you apologizing because you got caught? Or have you actually had a change of heart? Because what you said in the privacy of where you were when you didn't know you were being recorded is who you are.
Right. And Flood, here's the bottom line. I mean, the bottom line is this. When the story first broke, he didn't say, oh, man, I didn't mean to say that. He said, oh, first thing he said was, I didn't know I was being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not apologetic. So regardless of whatever redemption, just like you said, I've never seen him make a public statement. I've never seen him appear on any show with anybody saying, I'm apologetic. I apologize for what I said. So I don't know where the WWE is getting this. You know, he went on a tour. You know, after these 3 years, he showed remorse. When? I haven't seen it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to read you a snippet of an article published by theshadowleague.com. It's entitled, Hogan's Reinstatement Was the Low Blow Black WWE Fans Saw Coming. Again, this is published by theshadowleague.com, and it's entitled, Hogan's Reinstatement Was the Low Blow Black WWE Fans Saw Coming. It reads, Hulk Hogan being back in the company feels like the twisting of a knife Vince McMahon has had in black spines for decades, a final and definite concession that we don't matter to him. Right now, I feel horribly for the black wrestlers, writers, producers, and other employees who spent their lives dreaming of working for WWE only to have to look an admitted racist in the eye and pretend to be okay with him coming back without any tangible consequences or sorrows for his actions. This is all honestly heartbreaking. WWE made a firm decision to spit in the face of every black person who has ever been associated with them. Your reaction?
Wow, that was powerful right there. I mean, you know, like, that's how some people will feel. That's how some people look at it, like, at the end of the day. I mean, you bring home, this man said he's a known racist, like, at the end of the day. What, just like to your point, will they make money off of him? Will people pay to see Hulk Hogan? Will they boycott the shows that he's going to be at? Like, I mean, we really got to understand and talk about this, especially in this climate.
I think that the move has made WWE more political than it wanted to be. I do think that there is a market for Hulk Hogan. People, well, just as much as people are willing to look past Bill Cosby's troubles, they're willing to look past Hulk Hogan's. Especially if you are a racist wrestling fan, you probably identify more with Hulk Hogan than you ever did in your life. And so if WWE releases a Ultimate Hulk Hogan collection, or if Hulk Hogan is featured at the next pay-per-view as a special guest referee or a special enforcer, there will be people who buy into that. But now there will also be people, whether they be Black Lives Matter or otherwise, the NAACP, who will protest Vince McMahon and the WWE, who will sign petitions, who will write think pieces and op-eds saying that this is insensitive. And then it also sets a precedent for other TV entities to forgive past grievances from their stars, like Roseanne, who tweeted about Valerie Jarrett in a month ago, that she was the child of the Planet of the Apes and the Muslim Brotherhood. And Roseanne, of course, said, I'm not racist, unlike Hulk Hogan, who admitted he was. Roseanne said, I'm not racist. I thought she was white. So, I mean, if Hogan could be redeemed, there's a chance for Roseanne, right? Where does it end?
And we have to bring Roseanne back. You know, I said that from the beginning. I don't think she should have been, you know, the show should have been fired, like, you know, terminated for because of that. You know, that's nonsense. Now, here you have a known racist, Hulk Hogan. I'm a known racist. He's coming back after 3 years. So, is the penalty now for racist? Well, she's not a racist, but Hulk Hogan is a known racist. So, what's her penalty? Half? A year and a half? Then she comes back? I mean, where do we draw the line, Flood? What's going on?
Mark Henry, former world champion and the world's strongest man. He's one of the black wrestlers to ever make it to the main event in WWE. He said that the wrestling locker room is split 50-50 on Hogan coming back. The New Day, Kofi Kingston, Elijah Woods, I think his name is, and Big E. So you read it. They sent out a statement. And part, it reads, we don't wish to spend the energy debating the point because between our kids, our external ventures, and this job, our energy is spread thin already. How do we feel indifferent? They went on to say, we find it difficult to simply forget Hogan's racist comments, but we also do not respond with more feelings of hate. Instead, we do not associate with the people who convey or have conveyed this negative and hurtful mindset. This instant will be no different. They go on to say that perhaps if we see him make a genuine effort to change, then maybe our opinion will change with him. And this is arguably, the New Day is arguably one of WWE's most successful black acts they have on the roster right now. Three wrestlers who can very much hold their own in a single competition are teen as a faction. And they're basically saying they don't have any feelings towards this. They're not going to associate with Hogan. He's coming back for business. Let him do his business. As long as we don't have to be in a program with him, that's kind of what it is. Titus O'Neil issued a similar statement. It must be hard to be a black wrestler right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because you have someone with the whole world's watching. You know, everybody's like, well, wait a minute. So how is he going to interact around these black wrestlers? Is he said he's a known racist. So if you're a known racist, how do you feel about these black wrestlers that you've been pretending to like all this time? You know, what about Mr. T? You know, you were in the movie with Mr. T. You were in WrestleMania with Mr. T. Has Mr. T spoken out about this?
That's actually an interesting thing. I haven't seen anything about that. I'll Google that now. But you're right. Not only was he with Mr. T at WrestleMania, but when Hulk Hogan joined WCW, he had Mr. T come back with him when he took on, I believe, Ric Flair at Bash at the Beach 94, I believe. Yeah, so, and then you got to mention Tiny Zeus Lister from the movie, what was the wrestling movie that Hogan... Yeah, but I'm saying, what was the movie that Hogan did with Zeus? No Holds Barred, right. You know, where he was co-starring with the black gentleman. So, I mean, maybe Hogan was just a good businessman. And he said, look, I'm going to do business with whoever I need to do business with. But at the end of the day, I'm a little bit racist. And, you know, if my daughter's going to date a fucking nigger, then I'd rather she be with the 8-foot-tall money-making nigger. I mean, that's some really, really real shit.
That's a really real tall nigger.
I mean, that is a really, really tall person, 8-foot-tall. So, I mean, just kind of like, you know, I also want to read this piece too from the same article because I thought it was interesting. And then I want to bring up something else in this article. This article goes on to say, to be a black wrestling fan is to be someone at odds with one's own moral integrity. Wrestling as a genre of entertainment has relished any chance to base its entertainment on racial stereotypes. As a lifelong wrestling fan, I've seen it all from pimps, he's referring to The Godfather, to Crime Time, to mammy stereotypes, and wrestlers being told they were too criminal to win the world title. That latter reference was referring to Booker T and Triple H in the mid-2000s feud. That's actually very true, because this is something that I felt for a long time as a black wrestling fan, a lifelong wrestling fan, who dates back from Ultimate Warrior and Razor Ramon to someone who even dabbles and watches the product sometimes today. It's hard to be a black wrestling fan when you see some of the stereotypes that the black characters are asked to play. But to be fair, all of the characters are based on racial stereotypes in one way or another, even the Latinos and the white ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
You remember the Godwins. They were hog farmers. They wore overalls to the ring and pig slop.
Yeah, the Bushwhackers. I mean,
the Bushwhackers. The Disciples of Apocalypse, the biker gangs.
Yeah, you had George the Animal Steele, who was a mentally ill white man. Like, mm-hmm. used to eat turnbuckles and all that.
With a green tongue.
Right, green tongue. Like, come on, man. I mean, it is what it is, man. But, I mean, wrestling is entertainment at the end of the day. People got to understand that. So, it's just like you're playing a role in the movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you want to play a role in the movie about, you know, whether it is, a, you know, some type of racial figure, some type of, you know, political figure, whatever it is. You know, that's the role you take on. I mean, because mm-hmm. that's what you do. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still up to those black entertainers to take on those roles. They feel like they don't want to do it. They don't have to do it. But at the end of the day, they got to feed their families and they got to do what they got to do to succeed.
Mm. So
that's another part of the, you know, issue we got to talk about as well. Because I'm quite sure there were some roles that I know, you know, some people turned down. Like, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm just not going to do this. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That goes for black and white entertainers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the before I want to go to Twitter, but there's also there's a tweet. And of course, China passed away. Joan Laura was her real name, but her Twitter account is still active. And someone tweeted from that account on July 16th a sentiment also expressed in this article. I'll read the piece in the article and then I'll read the tweet. Let's not forget that a few years ago, WWE executive and wrestler Triple H said that he couldn't look his daughters in the eye and explain to them how China, a WWE icon, could get into the Hall of Fame after having been featured in a sex tape. China went on to have a full-fledged porn career. Apparently, Triple H has no problem looking his daughters in the eye to explain to them how he allowed a racist into the Hall of Fame. And then on Twitter on July 16th from China's account, it says, if Hulk Hogan can get back into the WWE Hall of Fame, then I love our chances for China, but it's up to her fans. Please tweet, Facebook, email everyone in the WWE universe, and let them know it's time to let China in. That's a really fair point, right? I mean, to say that we can't have China in the Hall of Fame because she did porn, but we welcome back Hulk Hogan, who said, I'm a racist, and called his daughter's boyfriend a fucking nigger. That's the height of hypocrisy, is it not?
This is let me say something. First of all, I didn't even know China was not in the Hall of Fame. You know?
They tried to distance her from the company ever since she did porn.
Who the hell does the WWE think they are because of porn? You know how many times they had these women come out there doing all kind of sexually rated stuff and all kinds of. You know, I'll take you back to the days of Trish Stratus and the days of what's the chick with gold dust used to come out there and all
Marlena.
Like, come on, are they serious?
I take you back to when Sable posed nude for Playboy.
Right. What about the sex scene they had in the hospital bed and all that?
What about Val Venus, the pornographic adult film star character?
Are you kidding me, WWE? Are they serious right now?
So, yes, for those who don't know, China, who was the first female to ever hold the Intercontinental Champion, who was in the Royal Rumble, who was an integral part to the D-Generation X, who was Triple H's girlfriend and love interest before Stephanie McMahon, she is not in the WWE. And WWE, and particularly Triple H, has gone on record in saying because of her career in porn and the sex tape that she did with X-Pac entitled One Night in China, that she's not a good fit for WWE's wholesome PG-13 brand.
Well, that was a hell of a title, One Night in China. I like that. All right, all about Pete China.
Did you ever see that sex tape?
No, I didn't even know it existed. I didn't even know
it existed. Oh, Ikey. I watched it. It's
really.
Maybe I shouldn't have admitted that in hindsight. But I'm a wrestling fan and everything wrestling, so I wanted to see. They were high.
Oh,
you know, China and X-Pac used to do meth and shit together.
Yeah. I remember they was on the. They used to be on a reality show. I used to watch them. It was real
Celebrity
sad.
Celebrity Rehab or something, right?
It was real sad. Yeah.
But yeah, China. I think that this makes the case for China being in the WWE Hall of Fame. Like, if not, then I mean, Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah, the fans of the WWE. Listen, let me talk to the WWE universe right now. If you guys, for 1 second, sit back and let this happen. You have a known racist coming back into the WWE Hall of Fame, and the WWE, who's known back in the Attitude Era for sex and violence and all kind of stuff. are going to say they don't have China. China, the woman, the first woman intercontinental champion. She was a
knife wonder of the world.
Yes, come on. She took them, helped them get through the Attitude Era, helped them through the battle with Monday Night,
Monday Night Nitro, Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, Monday Night Wars. She helped them through that. Like, this is China. This is Joni fucking Lawler we're talking about here. You got to be kidding me, WWE Universe. This is Hulk Hogan, a fucking racist that they're going to bring back into the fucking Hall of Fame. Come on, Triple H. What is wrong? Stephanie McMahon, step up. Say something. Vince, what is wrong with y'all? Come on, man.
What's the opening of the song, of Hulk Hogan song that you texted to me?
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside. Yo, that was my shit. When that Jersey come on, Susie, that music.
Oh, yeah. I am a real American fighting the rights for every man.
See, we should have known back then he got a song like that. You know you're racist.
Yeah, I'm a real American. I'm a nigga hating American. God damn it. Make America great again is probably what he says in his sleep.
It all makes sense now.
So Jerry Lawler, the King of Memphis, the King of Memphis Wrestling, on July 16th, the same day that China account tweeted what she tweeted, he said removing Hulk Hogan from the Hall of Fame was an overreaction, and he blamed a politically correct culture.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jerry Lawler, I mean, I'm not going to say he's a racist, but he would strike me as, you know, one, two. I mean, he's from Memphis. It's Jerry Lawler. What do you expect? Coming from that, you know, south, you know, that down south background and all that, like, you know what I'm saying, get out of my fucking yard, nigga. What are you doing around here? I mean, it's Jerry Lawler. You know, what do you expect?
Go ahead, what'd you say?
The people who come out in defense of races, you know, with shit like that, you know, that shows you what their character about. That shows you what they are. After all the information was out, and that was when, you know, what he had to say about it, that just shows you what he's about. Maybe that's why he's not with the WWE any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about his issues that he had, you know, beating mm-hmm. up his, you know, his wives and girlfriends and shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, again, WWE explained that it felt that Hogan's numerous public apologies and volunteer work were sufficient criteria for reinstating Hogan into his Hall of Fame. There was a funny tweet I wanted to read for you. It comes from Bop Misha, BOPMISHA on Twitter, username Ricky Spanish. It says, Hulk Hogan be saying brother with the hard ER, and y'all surprised he said nigger. I just thought that was really fucking funny.
I tell you, that makes sense.
I don't like Jay on Twitter. I don't like Jay, username El Super Negro, says the people that are defending Hulk Hogan are the one of the reasons why I hate wrestling fans so much. There are so many undercover bigots and racists in the wrestling world. I mean, it's so many bigots and racists in the real world. They just happen to watch wrestling. You know what I mean? It's nothing unique to wrestling. But Twitter seems pretty split. But there are a lot of people who just, you know, who don't really get it. At Young Littlefoot, that's G, Young Littlefoot says, what really baffles me about this Hulk Hogan situation is people really think you can raise 64 years of being a racist in 3 years. She goes on to say, fuck Hulk Hogan and anybody that loves him.
Dang.
So some pretty strong opinions. I don't know, you know, for me as a lifelong wrestling fan, I don't know if my opinions are that strong. I mean, I get it from a business angle why Vince McMahon did what he did. I just think that he's bringing more hell upon himself by bringing Hogan back. I think that for a while there's going to be some protesting. But at the same time, you know, to your first thing you said on the podcast, how can you have a wrestling Hall of Fame without Hulk Hogan? And I am one who, and I don't want to be a hypocrite, which is why I'm torn, because while I think Hulk Hogan's, what he said is just, you know, unforgivable and to a degree, it was completely uncalled for and inappropriate and unfortunate. People shouldn't be judged by their worst moment. Him saying that their entire life should be judged by their one moment. But more importantly than that, I believe that you have to separate the art from the artist, and that because a artist did something infallible, that their art needs to be rescinded from culture. I feel that way about Bill Cosby. He's a sexual offender. He's a sexual predator, according to the jury. But that doesn't mean you have to erase his work and contributions to culture, because it helped the culture, it informed the culture, and other generations can enjoy the art while still understanding that the artist is a flawed individual. And so when you have a WWF Hall of Fame, to have Hulk Hogan in there is historically accurate, because he was the late 80s and early 90s before they replaced him with Ultimate Warrior. But you should be able to say Hulk Hogan, the character, Hulk Hogan, the brand, is in the WWE Hall of Fame because that's where it belongs. However, Terry Bollea, the gentleman from Florida who played the character, is a racist and an extremely flawed individual. Both of them should be able to be true simultaneously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, you can't take away from his accomplishments as a WWF, WWE, WCW superstar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was a Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Famer. If you're going to talk about, you know, the Hall of Fame wrestlers and, you know, in the world, he is one of them. So he mm-hmm. belongs in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As far as I'm coming up to shows and all that, I mean, he don't need to be doing all that. He done that already. That's why he's mm-hmm. in the Hall of Fame. So now mm-hmm. that you know he's a racist, I mean, so listen, we understand he's a racist. We dealt with it, but he's a Hall of Famer. We're going to leave him in the Hall of Fame. You can go to Netflix. You can go to our, I mean, not Netflix. You can go to WWE Network, watch shows that he was in before and all that, but he won't be appearing in any future shows, anything like that. I mean, you can do it like that. He doesn't have to be in the future. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because we got to understand that. We can't, just like Bill Cosby. Yes, he's just.
And just to your point, because you bring up a really, really good point. I want to just make sure we clarify for the listeners. WWE said they reinstated him into the Hall of Fame, but he does not have a wrestling contract. So he is not booked to appear on any future shows. He doesn't have a contract to do any DVDs or commentating or anything like that. As of now, he's just simply reinstated into the Hall of Fame.
Right, and that's all they have to do. Just like Bill Cosby, he's a disgusting individual, mm-hmm. but they don't have to take his shows. I grew up loving Bill Cosby shows. Like, come on, man, who didn't love the Cosby Show? Like, then it spun off to a different world. We watched all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love for my kids to watch the Cosby Show and understand, you know, what was going on, because they need to know. Oh, Daddy, well, who was he? Well, he was Bill Cosby. He got found guilty for doing this. He was doing so. We can't hide this stuff. We got to know what's going on. Our kids need to know. My kids watch wrestling. They seen Hulk Hogan before. They understand what he said. They understand. I had to talk with them about the whole situation. So they know what's going on. Like, at the end of the day, yes, these are who people are. At the end of the day, he's a wrestler. You like him. He does great things that you like. You may want to be a wrestler one day, but you know, in his life off the camera, he's a racist. He doesn't you know. And this is how he feels about black people. This is how.
And if you followed Hulk Hogan's trial with Gawker over the sex tape,
yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And there's a Netflix DVD, a Netflix documentary about Hogan's trial.
He got paid from that.
He got paid a lot of money from that, and he shut down Gawker. He bankrupted them. Hey. But Hogan makes it very clear in that documentary, in that trial, and the documentary covers that. And I'll look up the name of the documentary before the podcast is over so you guys can check it out. That Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan are two different people. Now, there was the case that the Gawker had said, you know, that they had the right to publish the sex tape because Hulk Hogan had made his sex life part of the public by bragging that he had a 10-inch cock.
Right.
And on the trial, Terry Bollea, the real individual, says he doesn't have a 10-inch cock, that Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch cock. It was probably the weirdest, most surreal moment of that trial, but it was a break in which you really saw Terry Bollea and the character he created. And I think that using that distinction, we should also use that to inform how we look at this situation and say, you know, Hulk Hogan, the brand, is in the Hall of Fame. Terry Bollea is still a racist piece of shit for all intents and purposes, right? The same thing about Scott Hall. Razor Ramon is inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, not Scott Hall, the person. So I think this is about, to your original point, this is about business. WWE wants the right to be able to market and license that Hulk Hogan name and brand again, but they don't necessarily want to do business with Terry Bollea. And though you can kind of separate that in language, it's very hard to do that in practice. Because you can say you want to market the Hulk Hogan name and brand, but there's no way to do that without doing business with Terry Bollea.
Right, exactly. And that's what it is. Because, you know, at the end of the day, WWE owns, you know, the name Hulk Hogan. Well, they don't own the name Hulk Hogan, but as far as the all the, you know, merchandise, all the stuff they got with him, they want to profit off of it. So right. At the end of the day, yeah, he doesn't have a contract to, you know, appear in the shows, you know, stuff like that. But he is a Hall of Famer. He has to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what it is. So, you mean, unfortunately, you know, the tape came out. Well, I'm not unfortunately, but I'm glad the tape came out. And, you know, we seen who, unfortunately, he is. So, I mean, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mark Samuel Gribben on Twitter at BigMark2010. He tweeted the New Day. He said, how about New Day at True Kofi, at Xavier Woods, PhD, at WWE Big E, have more respect for Hogan because he built that ring you stand in so proudly. He's almost chastising the black wrestlers for dissenting from this idea of Hogan being there. And again, that's his opinion. And I'm sure there's more people who are there. And I don't think that the New Day in their statement disrespected Hogan. They said they're indifferent.
Right.
So they didn't disrespect him. They understood that he's an icon. They understood why he was bought back for business reasons, but they don't have to associate with him is what they said.
And that's what people don't understand. Like, and you know, that's how I live my life. I know what you are. I know what you're about. Like you said, I don't have to associate with you. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care how you feel about me. You can want to associate with me all you want to. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to associate with you because of what you are, what you represent. And that's that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Your last thoughts on this situation, my friend?
Well, man, I just want to say, you know, Hulk Hogan is a legend in the wrestling game. Once again, shout out to, you know, all the wrestling fans who are still, you know, watching wrestling, still go to the shows and everything like that. Don't let this, you know, don't let this be something in your mind where you say, well, I'm going to boycott wrestling. Because from what I'm hearing, from what I'm saying, I don't think Hulk Hogan will be coming up to the shows and all that, be involved in the shows. I think Vince knows better. You know, Triple H knows better.
Well, just to say, there is rumors going around, and it was reported by What Culture Wrestling and others, that the next pay-per-view, Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar, or I think that it's going to be at SummerSlam, that it's potential that Hogan will be the special enforcer and that Bobby Lashley will win that match. WWE will crown their first ever black WWE champion, and Hogan will be there to raise the arm. I hope that that's simply a rumor, because that would be the most manufactured piece of shit that I've ever seen if that happens.
Let me say something to you, Flat. If something like that happens, wrestling fans, I will no longer be participating in wrestling. My children will not be participating in wrestling. I'll be done after that. Because just like you said, that's so fucking generic. It's so fucking, like, come on, man.
Mm. And it's so transparent. It's so, you can see exactly what they're trying to do. You bring Hogan back, and then he's there to crown the first black WWE champion. I mean, again, this is just rumor and innuendo that's being reported by some of the wrestling press. But it doesn't – that doesn't – I don't put it past Vince McMahon to do something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely naive enough to do that, man.
Yes. By the way, the Netflix documentary I was talking about is called Nobody Speak, Trials of the Free Press. And it's framed by Hulk Hogan's legal battle with the website Gawker, and the documentary assesses the state of journalism. It's really, really interesting look at the intersections of journalism and Hulk Hogan's career, and where character and personhood end and begin. So have you seen this one, Ikey?
No.
Yeah, check it out. Nobody Speaks. I think you'll like it. It's really, really good.
Check it out later on.
And it takes you like inside the courtroom, behind the scenes strategy, preparing for the lawsuit, you know, interesting and intimate looks at Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, the human being outside of the character Hogan. And you see him being vulnerable and crying. And it's just really interesting.
I'm going to check it out.
My last thoughts on this is, you know, I am not going to boycott WWE after this. I'm not going to pretend that I am. I would say that I'm disappointed in WWE's decision, but I also understand why they did it from a business standpoint. Everybody deserves a second or third chance, but again, an admitted racist, as long as you're still a racist, I don't know if you deserve a second chance. I don't know if I've heard Hulk Hogan say, I'm not racist anymore. You know what I mean? Or I've been delivered. God has set me free from this demon of racism. I haven't heard anything like that. And so while I do believe that no one should be judged by their single worst day and that everybody deserves second and third chances, they have to be genuinely asking for that second chance. And they have to disavow the words and the sentiment that led them to be in need of a second chance. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
So,
no, did we hear that? I haven't heard it.
I haven't heard it either. So shout out to the New Day and Mark Henry and Titus O'Neil and the other black wrestlers who are issuing statements, who are being true to themselves and are saying, you know, we're not going to stop the company that we work with from doing business, but we're going to be indifferent and we're going to not associate ourselves with this person. We're not going to be all Joe, you know what I mean, and hype. Because he's Hulk Hogan, we know how he feels about us. He's made that clear. There's no reason to bullshit. So I think that's respect. And that's probably the realest thing about wrestling. So on that tip, Ike Raw, I'll give you information how people can keep up with you, follow you online, and hear more from you.
Well, let me tell you something for the German man. Anchor app, man. Raw Talk with Ike Raw. Follow Ike Raw. Subscribe to Anchor. Raw Talk with Ike Raw. I live in Think Flood. Follow Ike Raw on Twitter, man. That's at Ike Raw 1977. For all you Ike Raw maniacs out there on social media, Facebook at North Philly Ike Raw, Facebook and Instagram. Thank you, Flood the Drummer.
Now, Hogan, he had lust in his eyes. I can't. That hurt. I was trying to do the Macho Man voice, but that hurt. I couldn't do it. I can't do it anymore. Anyway, you can follow me on social media at Flood the Drummer. That's on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Subscribe to the Drumming for Justice podcast on iTunes, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else podcasts are available. And also stay tuned for my article on this matter, which will be published on Goodman Project and Apple News. So if you are an iPhone and iPad user, add TechBook Online to your Apple News reader. And don't forget to subscribe to Raw Talk with Ike Raw's podcast. You can also find that on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and wherever else podcasts are available. As promised, we are back in the saddle, dusted off the mics on the Anchor app, and we'll be coming to you as often as possible, delivering you great content. Shout out to everybody who listened to the last episode we did on the Fatal Rittenhouse stabbing. Shout out to Brother Ben, who I met in downtown Philadelphia yesterday. Ike Raw, big fan of the podcast, loves hearing you, loves hearing me. Shout out to Brother Timothy in South Philly. Shout out to Gary Butler 15, who I know is listening, and all the others who are appreciative of the time that Ike Raw and I take out to discuss these topics, to give our perspective, and to entertain you. We greatly appreciate it. Until next time, I'm Flood the Drummer, and I'm drumming for justice.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.